SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, we got a controversy here. It's level three. Degenerate Dean set the number earlier. Let me get what the number was. People on Twitter were talking about this earlier. The odds of Babano having the odds of Babano having a phone malfunction. Let me see if I can find this tweet. I got a lot of tweets here. Why are you sending me pictures of naked women, Mick? She's not naked, but I just got this shot here of like a cheerleader or something. I don't know, like scrolling down, like what is this, Mick? It's not naked. What's this? I don't know. It's like a football player. It's like it's a woman in a bikini for whatever reason. I don't know. All right. Oh, here it is. Let's see. Where is the? What do we got here? All right. It was yes minus 300. Will Babano's phone malfunction during the show? Yes, minus 300. No, plus 160. So the yes, just that we got an issue here though, because people like we got a problem. It was not Babano's fault, and now I'm starting to wonder all the times we've yelled at him, how many times. But no, it's been his fault a lot. But this time it was not his fault, because when I was like, if I was like freaking whatever. I looked up and I'm like, oh, I've been knocked off myself. I looked up, I'm like, oh boy, we all got knocked off. But we have a secondary backup system because we're pros, right? So this like basically, oh, I got knocked off, but we have like a second audio thing that kicks in. And it kept going, but I didn't realize till after. So I don't know if that bet should pay. So like for those of you that bet on that, yes, Babano would have a phone malfunction, you know what? I think you win your bet, but you got really lucky because it wasn't Babano's fault. You see, Matthias, it wasn't Babano's fault, but it still happened anyways, and life isn't fair, so you win the bet. We can't say it's a non-bet. You win the bet. Whoever bet on phone malfunction.
At the window right now, if I bet the other way, I'd be tearing down the building because it was not Bobano's fault. So I would lose my money on a technicality. I'd be going crazy.
Yeah, I know, but there was never, that wasn't the fine print. It said,
You're right.
Will Bobano have a phone malfunction? He did. He got knocked off. That's a malfunction. Right? Was there, because basically, if you bet this, the question is very simple. Will Babano have a phone malfunction? And the answer was, yeah, there was a phone malfunction. So, yeah, you win the bet, even though poor Babano was not his fault. And since it's so late right now, you like it, Matthias, Babano did not attempt to call back. Yeah, he's like, click. When he's gone, he's like, oh, I'm gonna, he's like, I'm done. Hey, I stayed until... I'm getting a flashback of me being in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium trying to call in and getting knocked off. I swear to God, I tried like three or four times. And I remember, I'm like, I'm done. I remember that same feeling. I remember I looked at my phone. I was like, I can't do anything. I can't, like, there's nothing more I can do here. Nothing more I can do. Level three, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Late night controversy. Who should be paid? There was a bet amongst the Rageaholics. Minus 300, would Babano, Ian Cameron have a phone malfunction with us this evening? And yes, indeed, he did have a phone malfunction. But the problem was, it wasn't his fault. But the thing is, like I always say, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. When Max Strus and Kyle Lowry asked, why'd you guys go 0 for 15 tonight? It wasn't our fault. 0 for 15.
The technicality and the way that you phrased that bet, you're right. The winner is, yes, there was a
malfunction.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, you win. All right, so who's up tomorrow? Who's the guest tomorrow? We've got Teddy. Teddy Cobb's was pretty smooth. Teddy's actually like might be number one on the power rankings. So we got to get the we're gonna make the list. We'll do the list later in the week. Teddy's pretty smooth. Julio's a shuffler. Julio has usually a pretty good connection, but I think like Julio, admittedly, I think he said like he's one of those people. I do it too sometimes. I find myself doing it. I don't know what it is about cell phones, huh? It's hard to just sit down, isn't it? Do you walk around with this when you're on a cell phone at all? Like, I did it today. I was sitting on my couch talking on my phone, and next thing I knew, I was standing in my kitchen. You know what I mean? I was like, and I realized, I'm like, why am I walking around pacing here? And I went back and I sat down. But so, remember, because Julio, I was like, what the hell is that shuffling? He goes, there's nothing, no noise. I said, there's a noise. And then it turned out it was his carpet. I heard everything. He goes, oh, I am walking. I said, I can hear the steps of the carpet. That's what it is. Going crazy. All right. Rough night tonight. We really took it on the chin. We're like Kruger Industries in Seinfeld. Really took it on the chin. God. We're on the Miami Heat. I'll own it. I took the Miami Heat tonight. They sucked. Brutal. The Big E, Eric Cohen. Old school. Our old school update guy on Sports Rage, Sirius XM. 98. We'll step up and in. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. The Wicked Wednesday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency throwing it down. We're kicking it retro style tonight. We've already had the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart throw it down with us. Now the Big E, Eric Cohen, steps up in old school HSR style, throwing it down TSN Ed style right now. The Big E, Eric Cohen. Cohen, it's been a couple of weeks. How you been? How you doing? Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a crazy couple of weeks. There's so much going on in the world of sports. Just seems like... you know, every other profession, there's like downtime and, you know, whether you're an accountant or whatever, there's always some time for you just to sort of, you know, relax. There's no break with sports. Like literally I just found like, you know, you had a few months with COVID, but really since everything came back, it just seems like there's always stuff happening. And if you're not on your toes, you're missing a whole bunch of stuff.
It's hard to stay on top of everything all the time, but it sounds to me like you're pretty beaten down, Cohen. You sound like you're worn out. Sounds like you're crying for a vacation, right? You're like, it never stops. And it keeps going. It never ends.
Well, you know what? You worked with me for a long time, so you know that's always like, oh, Gabe, all we do is work and work, and we work so late.
Coming to baseball season. Things are about to slow down. I mean, hey, listen, to me, I don't know about you, but it feels like the playoffs in the NBA and the NHL started like 2 weeks ago.
I know.
And here we are. We're on the verge of, we're on the verge of the NBA championship. The NBA finals are set to begin. And look, the Tampa Bay Lightning are now just one series away right now. So it is going to slow down a little bit. And then we're going to have, baseball. You don't bet soccer very much, do you? You bet MLS?
No, I'm not a big soccer bettor, but I mean, listen.
What do you do in the summer then? Just baseball.
Well, CFL.
And you got CFL.
Yeah.
Well, what's up with that? Are they playing? Are they not? I don't even know anymore. My head is spinning, Colin.
I know. My guess is they'll play. I mean, I don't think the players can afford to not play. I mean, like the CFL has basically said, like, this needs to be figured out by Thursday or, you know, there's going to be a stoppage. And, like, you know, right now they're, like, I guess they're, like, housing some players and they're, like, you know, feeding them and putting them up and stuff. And that's all going to end if there's no deal. So they got to get
it. It's a weird situation.
Yeah.
They didn't have a deal and camp was supposed to start. So then they sort of got along enough to say, all right, listen, we sort of agree on enough. All right, we'll get the deal done and let's get into camp. And then they get into camp and then after a couple of days, it's expanding. You know, it doesn't seem like they're getting closer and whatever. It's, you know, we just want football to bet on right now. I got to tell you, I'm starting to get into a groove right now with the USFL.
Nice.
But I'm looking forward to getting the CFL in the rotation.
Yep.
So let's get into the Battle of Alberta right now. Start off with some pucks with you. What's your take on this? Are you surprised that the Flames are down 3-1 right now?
I'm shocked. I am. I really am shocked. I thought... you know, I like Calgary coming into this series, and I felt like, you know, Jake Ottinger was the only reason why Calgary didn't roll over Dallas. So I expected them to, but again, a lot of things I expected haven't transpired, and that's why sports can be so entertaining. Sometimes, you know, you have this vision and you're wrong. I thought that Jacob Markstrom would, you know, be the difference. You know, I thought they had such an edge in goal, Markstrom over Mike Smith. And, you know, listen, Mike Smith hasn't been brilliant, but he's outplayed Markstrom. And I didn't see that happening, especially when Smith gets pulled 6 minutes into game one, the Flames score 3 goals on him. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. This is exactly how I saw this transpiring. Calgary goes and scores 9 goals in game one. And then Calgary was up by 2 goals in game two. So it looked like, you know, things were just going to go exactly how I thought. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Oilers bounce back, score a couple. Hyman scores that breakaway shorthanded goal. And the Flames haven't been the same since. That shorthanded goal by Hyman, this seemed to take all the steam out of Calgary. You know, Calgary played terrible in game three. The Oilers were all over them. And then in game four, credit Calgary, they, you know, they come back from a 3-0 hole. They get the fluky goal by Anderson on Smith. And then, you know, the Oilers take over the game afterwards. It's crazy what's happened. And listen, you can't say enough about what McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Kane have done, especially Dreisaitl, who's doing this on one ankle. You know, it really is amazing what they're doing because they're badly, badly outplaying the Flames' best players. You know, I think I've seen Johnny Gaudreau's picture on a milk cart. I don't know where he's been this series. The Flames just aren't getting much out of their big guns. And it's too bad because Gaudreau's a UFA after this year. He wants to get paid. He's not having a very good series going into that. You know, Lindholm got a big goal, and the Flames have gotten some other contributions from other guys. But, you know, Sutter's been pretty adamant about he needs his top guys to be as good as Edmonton's top guys, and they most certainly have not been.
I agree with whatever you said. You're exactly right. And listen, we knew that Edmonton's top guys were better than Calgary's top guys, but Edmonton's everybody's guys have been better than everybody's guys on Calgary. That's what surprised me. I keep waiting for, and I agree with you, you look at Calgary, and I said the same thing, because I picked Calgary to win the Western Conference, and people said, well, what do you think after what you saw against Dallas? I said, man, I said it was the goalie. I said, if it wasn't for that goalie, they would have cruised. And I said, and Dallas are a hard team to deal with. Mm-hmm. I said, you'll see. Against Edmonton, they'll score like 14 goals a game, right? And we were being sarcastic, right? And I said, man, if they get as many shots on goals as they did on Ottinger, on Mike Smith, they're going to score like 14 goals a game. Game one, they scored 9, right? Yeah. And you're thinking, all right, yeah, this is all right. We're cruising along. And I don't know. It's gut check time. I talked about it after the game the other night, Colin. I mean, block shots. Edmonton had 23 block shots. Calgary had 11. That's effort. That's just sort of desire. You talk about Gaudreau. It's not just getting on the score sheet, but he doesn't fight for pucks in the corner. I keep betting on Calgary. I bet on Calgary in all four games in this series. What about tomorrow? -152 at FanDuel. Flames are favorites.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have to think Calgary wins tomorrow. You know, I think
at Edmonton this point, it's just like you might as well throw more money into the ocean off the ship, right? And say,
Edmonton has flaws, and they're really not being exploited. I mean, I look at Edmonton's blue line, and you know, I know a couple of their guys firsthand. Obviously, Tyson Barrie and Cody Ceci didn't have very good stints in Toronto. Barrie was not good defensively here. Ceci had a miserable year when he
was. I didn't want to bring that up, Colin. There seems to be an awful lot of former Toronto Maple Leafs still playing hockey now.
Oh, sure there is. Yeah, you got Nazem Kadri doing his thing. You got Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman has scored more goals for Edmonton this playoffs than he scored his entire playoff career in 5 years in Toronto. So, yes, there's former Leafs everywhere. But, I mean, the truth is, Zach Hyman and Nazem Kadri, I always liked them in Toronto, and I thought they were very good players. And Toronto wanted to keep both of them, but Kadri kept getting suspended in the playoffs. And Hyman was a UFA and got a huge deal. So it wasn't like the Leafs wanted to get rid of those guys. But, you know, in the case of the other two, I don't like Edmonton's blue line. I mentioned Barrie and Ceci. Darnell Nurse is their best.
Kadri doesn't exploit it. Like you said, Kadri do not exploit it.
No.
Now, Colorado will be able to exploit it.
Right.
But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but got to believe those games will all be 6-5, huh, if it's Edmonton and Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, and then one more comment about Edmonton's blue line. I mean, I don't know. When I watch Duncan Keith, I can't help but think he's lost a step too from his days in Chicago. So I just don't see any reason why, the top guns on Calgary aren't generating more offense. Toffoli can't move. I don't know what's going on with him. He can't seem to keep up with Edmonton's top guys. We mentioned Goudreau's that he doesn't seem to have that fight in him, which was the issue with him last year before Sutter got there. So all these issues that Calgary seemed to have before Daryl Sutter are all back all of a sudden in this series. It's hard to imagine. And I mean, Sutter's reaction after Markstrom gave up that garbage goal 30 seconds into the game, he just sort of put his hands up like, hey, relax. Like he doesn't know what he's watching. He doesn't understand why his team's playing like this. Nobody gets it. Why Calgary just has not been able to look like the Calgary team that ran away with the Pacific Division.
They're plus one. They're plus 430 to win the series.
Win the series, yeah.
Can they come back if they win tomorrow? Like, is it all right? It's on then. I mean, they're not down three games to none. It is three games to one, right?
I definitely think that if Calgary wins tomorrow, the winner of Game 6 wins the series. I don't think Edmonton will win Game 7.
Well, that's my point, Colin, is betting. If you're betting, if you like Calgary tomorrow, then you've got to take a little piece of the plus four.
Exactly.
Trip, right? Because otherwise, it's obviously going to go down. All right, more with Colin on the other side. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Wicked Wednesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Rexy, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm on your 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. The Biggie, Eric Cohen, joins us from TSN Edge. So we talk playoff action. I want to get a little NFL football, Major League Baseball with Cohen as well. But as long as we're on the pucks right now. So, Cohen, we talked about the Calgary Flames being minus 152 favorites in this game. They're plus 430 to come back in the series, trailing three games to one. What about the total here at 6.5 in this game?
Yeah, I've been riding all the overs, obviously. Every game's gone over except for game three. The way that the game's being played, I mentioned.
It's hard not to get to 3-3 between the two, isn't it?
Yeah, Edmonton's blue line, is very flawed. Calgary's blue line, I know they got Tanev back in game four, but, they've really been struggling to obviously contain McDavid, Kane, and Draisaitl, who seem to be scoring in their sleep. But again, the difference is that Edmonton's actually getting secondary scoring. You could put those three guys on one line if Hyman and Yamamoto and Nugent Hopkins and these guys are scoring on other lines, and that's what the Oilers are getting. So, Woodcroft's done a great job putting his three big guys together because it's not like he's not getting anything from line two and three. It's Calgary that can't figure out the type of combinations to put out there that are going to be able to score regularly.
I do agree, and I talked about it a little bit last night, actually, that I think Woodcroft deserves credit, actually, for the line combinations that he's pushed all the right buttons through the playoffs.
Yep, sure.
Another thing is he's never panicked when things haven't gone well. There's been a couple of rocky moments, even against the Los Angeles Kings, mm-hmm. right? And he's never panicked. He stays calm, and I think it has a calming effect on the room as well. So the Rangers series and the Canes, this is the complete opposite of the Battle of Alberta as far as goals are concerned. So what? We're up to they've scored 13 goals in the series right now.
Listen, Gabe, is there an easier series to bet on? Here's what you do. You bet on the home team, and you bet on the under, and you haven't lost. Right?
Well, is something going to give? So you're right. So listen, I like the Rangers, Cohen, as underdogs. You can't just pick the favorites all the time. I took the Rangers as dogs coming into this series. They were plus 172. I told people last night, listen, I still like them. They're down two games to one, but I like the hockey that they're playing. And they're plus 250, and I think they're going to win the game. So then they're going to be tied at two. So, sort of same theory we're talking about with Calgary here. If Calgary win, guys, plus 430 is going to look pretty nice moving forward. And then you don't even have to bet on the games moving forward after. Or you could even buy back a little bit with Edmonton if you wanted. Mm-hmm. So Carolina, as you mentioned, Cohen, they're perfect at home in the playoffs, and they haven't won on the road. It's unbelievable.
It is.
And now they're back home.
Yeah. I mean, so round one against Boston, if you took the home team in every game, and the over in every game, you won. And now round two against the Rangers, if you've taken the home team in every game and the under in every game, you've won. So Carolina is the ultimate, just, you know, the trend is just, it's out of this world. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we both like the Rangers against the Penguins. We talked about that before that series started. I think we got a little bit lucky that Crosby got hurt and Domingue had to play. And then Jari wasn't 100% in game seven. And you had that play with the player lost his helmet and had to leave the ice on the tying goal.
They're playing better now in this series than they did against the Penguins, though.
See, I agree with you. I didn't think the Rangers played that well in the Pittsburgh series. I think New York's been the better team against Carolina in this series. New York left Carolina thinking we could have won both those games. And
thing, Cohen, why I like the Rangers, because the Rangers think they can't beat us in Madison Square Garden. We've got that's a distinct home ice advantage. And if you're the Rangers, you're thinking, guys, we were right effing there both games. Right? We're right here with these guys. So it sounds to me, Cohen, like you don't want to get in front of this trend of the home team and the under here. Are we going to ride this, or what's your take?
I'm not going to lay that juice with Carolina. I'm not going to bet on game five. I watched the first two games, and I thought Antti Raanta had to steal those games for Carolina. I thought New York was really good. New York was up 1-0 late in game one, right? Carolina had to score with like 3 minutes left to win that game in overtime. So, you know, you could say, hey, Carolina, they never lose at home. Well, they almost lost twice at home in this series. New York just about beat them both times. So I will stay away. I actually have a piece of the Rangers in the series too. So I'm just going to cheer for the Rangers and hope for the best. They got a nice plus price after they lost game one. I thought that, you know, they deserved a better fate. So I jumped on them then. So I'm just going to ride that out.
A couple of interesting looks here, guys. You could take the New York Rangers plus 1.5. And the Calgary Flames to win the game at plus 144. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been doing a lot of alt line plays going through the NHL playoffs at plus 2.5. And yeah, it softens the blow from the empty netter. If you lose by three and you lost it at 2.5, then hey, it was a bad bet. It is what it is. You don't deserve to win. But so if you want to go Rangers plus 1.5, Flames to win the game, it's plus 144. Rangers plus 2.5. And, man, there's not a lot of goals in this series. So if the Rangers lose, they probably will lose by one or two. And the Calgary Flames to win the game is minus 105.
Yeah.
Something to consider and throw out there.
From a Carolina perspective, there's been really no talk of Freddie Anderson. Like, you know, the injury didn't seem like it was that serious at the time. And here we are in
games. And can you really drop him in? I know the Penguins did it with Jari, but it's a tough thing to do, Cohen, if you haven't played right now.
Yeah, it's a good point. In the Penguins' case, Tristan Jarry at 50% is better than Louis
Domingue. Yeah, they were on to their third and fourth string goalie. They had no choice, yeah.
That's right. But you're right. In the Carolina situation, Antti Raanta...
Because put it this way, the Canes aren't losing because of their goaltending.
No, Antti Raanta's been fine. Yeah, he's been fine. But I don't know where Freddie Anderson is. Like, the injury wasn't supposed to be that serious. And it's been a while, so I don't know what the hell's going on in Carolina with this.
So what did you
but you know what? That series is really chippy. I mean, the stuff with Trouba and Domi and the Ryan Reeves stuff, both Gallant and Brendan.
I don't know how that wasn't a penalty on Trouba, bro.
The hit on Domi, I don't know how that wasn't a
they
penalty.
They said, oh, because Domi was falling. So just because a guy is falling, Cohen, doesn't mean you get to hit him, launch, and hit him in the head.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I was surprised Brendan Moore didn't go ballistic after that. I thought it was a dirty play.
So did I, and I'm pretty old school with stuff like, oh no, that's all right, and that's not malicious, and the Trouba stuff. I thought you're right, but it's been a really fun series. Like, there hasn't been a ton of goals, but man, it's good, great hockey, very fast paced games, up tempo.
Yeah, very competitive. The two teams are fighting for like every inch of ice. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but I mean, it's just so different than Edmonton-Calgary that's all run and gun and Edmonton doing all that stuff. And this series, you know, it's tough. You don't get a lot of chances. You got to take advantage of them. And Shesterkin's playing really well. And give him credit because he got pulled, twice in the Penguin series early. He looked like he was shell-shocked and he was done and he wasn't the same goalie. But he's responded and found his game. So good on Shesterkin.
Hey, look at Vasilevsky.
No, he's
been getting better as the playoffs have been going on too.
Yeah, that guy's unbeatable. He was very average at the beginning of the Leafs series, but
Have you recovered? Sorry.
Game six, he stole the game in overtime, and obviously game seven, he was incredible. And then, you know, he holds the highest scoring team in pretty much the modern, like the last couple decades, Florida, who averaged over four goals a game. They scored three goals in the entire series on him. So, yeah, but what Vasilevskiy's done is pretty remarkable.
We had Trent Rush on last night from the Angels radio network and MLB network. Blue Jays Angels series, Cohen. Have the Blue Jays bats, are they ever going to come alive? I mean, man, these guys are hitting 179 with runners in scoring position. That's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Now, they did put up eight runs against the Cardinals last night. On to Anaheim tomorrow. What's your take?
Well, you got to hope that what you saw in the last game against St. Louis is what you're going to see going forward. I don't really understand what's going on with them. And, I did actually, as a season ticket holder, I had like one of those Q&As with their assistant GM. That was one of the perks they gave us. So I actually asked him, like, what's going on with the bats? And his answer to me was, it's just baseball. Right now, you know, the people are trying to figure out the ball. There's low-scoring games everywhere. Hitters are a little bit out of sync because of the short spring training. To me, it's a bunch of excuses, though, because teams like, you know, the Dodgers and Yankees have found ways to score runs. So if you're an elite team, you should be able to score. And, you know, the ball can't be that different, even though, that being said, like tonight, if you look at these baseball totals, Gabe, it's insane. I mean, you're used to seeing nines and tens, right?
I know.
Games in New York.
Six and a half with stiff pitchers now.
Yeah.
They're tonight, like hockey totals, six and a half.
Tonight's New York Baltimore game, the total was 7.5. And, it's short porch. There's no Garrett Cole pitching. You know, there were a couple, like, really no-name pitchers for both teams. Both the Orioles and the Yankees have all these sluggers. And I'm thinking, like, are they just giving you money with a 7.5? Like, how is that game not going over? What was the final score? 2-0. Like, I don't know where the hell the offense is. It's insane.
The Big E, Eric Cohen.
You know, we obviously talk about sports and we try not to talk about politics too much, but I was incredibly impressed by Steve Kerr yesterday. I thought that, you know, more athletes, more coaches, more people who have this platform need to speak up because, you know, what's going on in the world right now, to have that incident in Buffalo, have the school shooting in Texas, it seems like every week or two something like this is happening. And, you know, we always say we got to stop it, we got to stop it. I saw one of your tweets. You're right. It's not just the guns, it's the hate, it's the people with this just awful, awful, sickening way of thinking. I don't know how to stop it, but we can't keep doing it. And I was so impressed. I thought what Steve Kerr said was genuine. I thought he didn't have an ulterior motive. He spoke from the heart. He's trying to get change and do whatever he can to use his platform for good. And it'd be nice if more athletes and more coaches were to do that, because we definitely need all the help we can get right now.
Well said, Cohen, and we'll end it with that, but very well said in your own right. The Big E, Eric Cohen, follow him, Real Eric Cohen on Twitter. Always good, Cohen.
Thank you.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Well, with the pleasure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. All right, thanks to the Big E, Eric Cohen. I tell you, I didn't expect that from Cohen at the end. Very passionate speech. And Cohen's a father of a couple of kids, which is a scary thought. I'm just kidding. He's actually a good dad. His kids distract me, actually. It's funny. I don't know why I get, and I like kids too, but I get distracted. Coach James Young was on with us the other day, and I was talking, and he was like, I can see in a green room type thing. So like, I can see the shot. Speaking of shots, I don't know if you noticed, Matthias, the video seems to be like, sort of like has that little, it was just freezing every like 2 seconds or something. It's gone right now. Not that I care or whatever. I give up on this stuff. It is what it is. But, So basically, I don't know, man, I was talking to someone like a producer during the break, and Coach Young is there, and his daughter was on his lap, man, and his daughter was like moving around and stuff, and I had no choice. I had to block them. I have a button. I was like, man, his kid's like distracting me. And same thing, man, like I'm talking to Cohen and his daughter's like jumping on his shoulder and stuff. And it's distracting me. I'm like, listen, get off his shoulder, man. He's doing an interview here, right? So he's a lot nicer now. He'd be like, hey, listen, get off my shoulder, honey. I'm doing an interview here. Much nicer to me. So it's just funny because the big Era Cohen used to tell us so many sleazy stories. He had great stories and stuff. So it's just funny. He's all settled down. And not that he was like a big playboy, but he tried. He struck out all the time. But now he's like Mr. Dad and stuff. But he does a great job. Seems to be he's a good father and everything. But a passion plea from Cohen. I tweeted something out earlier in the day. And we're going to play Steve Kerr's comments in a minute, just because they were that powerful and they're worthy of hearing. And he's not the only one. I saw somebody in the WNBA today. Man, she was smart. I was like, man, you should run for office. Right? And this isn't a case. I know some people, and I get it at times. Right? We don't watch sports. You don't whatever for sports, for politics or for social issues. You want a game. Right, we want a game. You want an escape from all that stuff. But at the same point in time, athletes are people. They have kids. They're people. They're humans. Whatever. Like, and it's not a case of keep this out of this. It's like at some point everybody's got to say, listen, we got a problem here. And this is my own personal opinion on this. And I don't want to get into a gun debate and stuff, right? Because whatever. You know what I mean? Now, I will say, I believe that everybody should have the right to protect themselves. I don't think that's any sort of, that's just end in it. You know what I mean? Stop and start right there. Stop. I don't have a problem with that. I do think it's crazy that people are getting you're getting like full out military assault weapons that are used for weapons of war. Right? I want to use it at the gun range as my right and stuff. So the types of guns that people have is over the top. But like I said, to me, it's not even about guns. It's about the bigger issue is than guns is the amount of hatred and polarization of everything and everybody in the world that we're in right now. Everything is politicized and chopped up for profit. And then everything has been dumbed down so much that people are actually dumb now. Right? Now, so people will support a political party or people will support something and they don't even know why. They don't know any policy. There is no policy, right? Right? They're talking about lasers from space and, aliens and turtles turning gay and... Right, whatever you agree with politically, at least before there used to be, you would have a debate. Well, I think we should handle the economy like this because it's almost like a bet. Politics almost used to be like betting and two people talking. I like this side, and I think this side's gonna win because this side will make us more money, and this is why we should have this policy, and this is why this is my policy for this, and this is the better way to do it. And you actually had a talking point and a reason as to why you are doing something, as opposed to we call bumper sticker politics, right? And I've always said this, and this is a line that I've used for years, in which, like, if Jesus Christ was around now and he ran, let's say Jesus Christ, all right, and all these people talk about other Christians and stuff. If Jesus Christ ran for office, what they would run against him and say? They'd say, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. I say Jesus is soft on crime. You can spin anything, right? And they're good at this, man. They really do. They spin everything on it. So everything gets spun all the time. And it has a trickle-down effect on people. And, like, people like, can't just talk about anything anymore. Everyone's crazy. Everyone hates everything. If you're anyone that looks different, acts different, thinks different, votes different, anything different now, everybody hates. Like, there's, like, nobody will... You can't have a conversation with anybody, right? And... So when there's just a level of discourse and a level of hate everywhere, what happens from hate? Violence. What happens? Like, if people would just chill out and stop being so extreme about everything on all sides all the time, and I'm talking not about just politicians. The politicians are useless, okay? So forget about them. So that's my whole point about, like, so people have to start speaking up and stuff. And to me, it's not like, oh, ban guns and ban this. Because, listen, guns have been around forever. I'm 51. Guns, you know what I mean? Guns have been around forever, right? It's not like guns are new. But if you'll notice, there's a hell of a lot more violence, mass shootings, people going crazy and getting angrier. Well, so it's not the guns so much. And I do believe this as well. Whatever, man. You can run people over. It happened in Toronto a couple of years ago. The guy didn't have a gun. He just got in his van and decided to run through a sidewalk full of people. Right? There's a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, so we can get into a gun debate. So I don't want to do that. To me, it's just chill out. Everybody chill out. Don't be so polar. Don't, like, you know what I mean? Not everyone's a dictator, a fascist, a Nazi, and this and that, and like this. And then you get these people to profit off of it on TV, so they sell this. They don't even believe what they're telling you, people, right? They're like, wow, I can't believe these people bought this, right? But I'm making $12 million a year selling this crap, right? Like the racial stuff, the division, and like just all of it. And then people are surprised. Oh, I can't believe someone went and shot a church. Well, I don't know. If you pour a bunch of gasoline on the fire and you yell fire and you sound a fire alarm in the neighborhood, don't be surprised if people come out and start doing crazy things. Right? So, like, that's my deal. Like, everything. Like, you know what I mean? Just like even like a little like Josh Donaldson. Like, why would you say Jackie to somebody? Just because you're a jackass. Right? Like, just sort of like, don't be a jackass, everybody. If everybody, that's my point. If everybody would just be less of a jackass, stop worrying about the color of people's skin and different and who they voted for and everything. That's what, you know, I like about sports books and casinos. Nobody's ever asked anyone. Like I said, I spent a lot of times in casinos and sports books. Nobody's once ever asked me who I voted for. Right? Because that's the thing. The media wants you to believe that everybody hates each other and stuff, but we don't. People don't. Right? People don't. You know, I've lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in Las Vegas. I've lived in New York City. I never saw any race war, riot, or you know what I mean? But, you know, they want you to believe this, that everyone's out to get you. Everyone's coming for you. Everyone's the enemy. That's the new thing. Right? Everyone's the enemy. Everything's bad all the time. Let's talk about that. Everything's bad, 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 right? I said this the other day on Twitter about the economy. People always talk like you watch these cable news networks and these guys are making like $18 million a year telling you how bad the economy is and everything sucks. It's like, well, I don't know, man. Somebody just spent $51,000 on tequila in Vegas at the EDC the other night, so I think the economy's doing fine. Now, I get it that nothing's perfect and stuff, but it sucks, though, because, listen, what Steve Kerr just said is smarter than what any jackass politician has said about anything, right? And they're the ones that stir this hate stuff. They're the ones, I'm telling you, they're the ones to blame. Cable news, politicians, not guns, it's the discourse. But here's Coach Steve Kerr.
In Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
There's Coach Steve Kerr. And just for the record, too, because not everybody's going to know everything about everything, but Steve Kerr's father was killed. His father was a professor in the Middle East. He was actually the president of American University of Beirut. He was killed by gunmen in 1984 in like a political attack, although motives were never fully discovered, essentially. It was like a PLO type of thing, assassinated outside of his office. So Steve Kerr knows, like, you know what I mean? He knows this pain. And what's crazy too with Steve Kerr, poor Kerr, when so Steve Kerr played at Arizona, and when they went to Arizona State, the Arizona State fans chanted PLO when he was on the free throw line. So that's what I'm talking about, just being like evil. And like, look at like the Kadri stuff the other day, right? Like, why can't you just say to Kadri, you know what, you're a jerk, I hope that the Blues knock your teeth out for taking our goalie out. That's, you know, like I said, fine, that's sport fan behavior. But you get into, you know, insults and racial stuff, and like, as I stated, I don't want to sound like guns don't kill people. People do, but it's true. The people are the ones pulling the trigger. And as long as we keep pouring more gasoline on this stuff all the time, the triggers will continue to be pulled. I see, like, sort of all sides of everything all the time, but it's hard to tell people when they see shootings all the time to buy less guns, because the human reaction is, I better get a gun. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class. The last thing about this is, I gotta be honest with you, like, I have not. And that's kind of one of the problems. I can't look at, like, the pictures and stuff of, like, the kids and all that. I started to see it today a bit popping up. And it's heartbreaking. And that's the thing. Like, these poor kids, they're not even buried yet. And you get people, politicians and TV anchors and just talking points, and they're crap. And they don't care. They don't care. They really don't. I swear, man. You know what I mean? There better be a heaven and hell, because they're all going straight to it. They're all going straight to it. Like, just like I said, the division. Like I said, like, I know we can get into a gun debate and all this. That's not, you know, to me, it's not that. And as I stated, I wouldn't want to take anyone's guns. I think that you should have bigger background checks on people. It's harder to sign up for a sportsbook account than it is to get a gun. Think about that. You know what I mean? That's probably a little bit of a... you don't have enough ID, sir. I'm sorry. We can't sign you up for this app. You don't have enough ID to get into this club tonight, sir. Yeah, can you sell me the AK-47? Well, no problem. No problem. Like, that's a little twisted. But as I stated, it's like people. Like, guns have been around forever. You know, there's always been violence, but the level of anger right now, people are just angry all the time. And I get it. Like, you have some things to be angry about, but then you start blaming other people, right? And then people get targeted in groups and stuff, right? It's sort of like the Qadri stuff. Like he said, like Qadri can take it. But now what about like some Muslim kid that's going to school in St. Louis the next day that a bunch of dumbass racist kids pick on him because, you know what I mean? There's a trickle-down effect. Stop the hate. I think that's the best way of putting it. Well, like what the Buffalo Bills t-shirt said, choose love. Unless we're talking about playing the Patriots, then we destroy them. Cam chose love tonight. It's just business. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.